the way that we approach the question is really key. We hold that question out and we ask ourselves, what comes when we ask? Is it fear or is it faith? Our lives are defined by one of two things, fear or faith. Now, fear is a very natural emotion. We all know that. Fear in and of itself is not a bad thing. We ought to feel some fear. I wish my boys felt a little more fear. Right now, they're kayaking in the Tennessee rivers. And the pictures I'm getting back are just scaring the living heaven out of them. But fear taken to an extreme becomes catastrophic fear. And before we know it, we find ourselves not really even wanting to ask the question of what we want to do for the rest of our lives. What's really possible? Because we've already decided, well, there's nothing really possible because of all this fear. The story is told about a man who was riding his bicycle. And as he was riding the bicycle down this country road, there was a big field. And the big field, as he looked up, he saw these golden retrievers. That golden contrast against all that green. And these goldens were just bounding and bounding and bounding. It was their tongues hanging out. And it was just a fun thing to see. But there was just this one dog of the four who didn't seem to move a great deal. And when he did move, he ran in little circles. How puzzling, that man thought. What a strange thing to see these other dogs having so much fun. He thought, maybe I'd like to know about this dog. And so he stopped and he pulled over and he said, tell me, what is going on with this dog? And he said, there's a good explanation. He said, when I found this dog, when I rescued this dog had spent most of its life in a cage. And whenever it got excited, you know how dogs do the zoomies? Whenever it got excited, they could only run in small circles. And what I'm trying to do is to heal this dog so that it can live a more joyful life. Free to run, free to explore, free to play. We spend too much of our lives spinning in little circles. And what God seems to be doing, what Jesus seems to be doing, is calling us into a wider space, into a more holy imagination about what's possible for us, what's possible for your business, what's possible for the church, what's possible for the community. And what will define our outcomes will be faith or fear. Or, well, another way to think about it is, are we choosing to focus on deficits or are we choosing to focus on aspirations? Deficit thinking is what traps us. Well, you don't know about me. You don't know about my past. You don't know about all the mistakes that I've made. You don't know about the dreams that didn't really come true. You don't really understand that I don't have much faith in life. We deficit focus. And deficit focusing is just an easy way to do work avoidance, which is taking hold of our own life. And this is what we see in our gospel today. This nursery school story that we're so familiar with, while it involves a lot of particulars, it's about Jesus inviting a man into a wider way of thinking. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, hey, brother, got eternal life covered for you. Let's talk about the life you're living right now. I'm not not seeing the generosity that I think you're capable of. And you know the story. The man gets beaten. And it isn't the upper class. It isn't the people who do good things in the community. They finally respond. Because you know what they see when they see that man on the ground? What do they see? They see deficit thinking. They see that guy, oh, there's just no hope for that guy whatsoever. He's poor. He grew up in a family that was dysfunctional. He'll never be able to, you know, do anything good in this life. See, that's what we do when we deficit think. We do that to ourselves, we do that to others, and that creates a stigma. We stigmatize ourselves, we stigmatize others, and that is work avoidance. But if, alternatively, we think through the lens of the work of the Samaritan, of the other, that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying, hey, you see that guy who practices almost like a completely different religion? If he can do it, you can do it. So go and do it. Go and do it likewise. Now, I got that message a lot growing up. I have to say, it was a bit of a burden being raised by Jane Edens. My mother had this uncanny sense to focus on what was possible. Even through all the hard things that she experienced in her life. I remember when I was in college in Hemp City, I just want you to know, when I was in Hemp City, I was the community service chair of my fraternity. Everybody wanted that job. I called my mother up and I said, Mama, I've got to come up with something to do that's going to, you know, get my fraternity brothers, excited and the college excited. And she said, well, honey, that's just easy. She said, let's just do the Special Olympics. I said, why the Special Olympics? She said, because you know what I love about the Special Olympics is they're always celebrating people's ability. I said, well, Mama, what are you thinking? She said, son, I got it all planned in my head. I said, here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do is we're going to have, when the games begin, the opening, we're going to wow everybody there. We're going to have a helicopter fly in. And when the helicopter flies in, Smokey the Bear is going to jump out of that helicopter. And then after that, after the helicopter takes off, a marching band's going to come. And then after the games, we're going to have a Motown band. It's going to be wonderful. So I said, okay, Mom. So we got on the phone with the president of the college, and he was taken aback. A little bit of deficit thinking. But it came together. The day of the Olympics, kids were gathered around. All the chaos, all of a sudden, you think the kids in Prince Edward County who were poor kids had ever seen anything like that before? Smokey the Bear jumps out, the marching band, and then at the end of that special day, the band started. Do you remember? At the end of the evening, they invited my mother to come forward, who didn't want any recognition. And as people looked, it wasn't lost on anyone that she had done all this planning and had all these conversations while she was paralyzed from multiple sclerosis from the chest down. Deficit thinking? asset thinking. Do we live at the level of fear, or do we live at the level of aspiration? Jesus is calling us today to take hold of our lives. To really think about what our aspirations and dreams are, not only for ourselves, but for others. We do not know how long we are going to live. We do not know what is going to happen to us. But I'll tell you a little story that I think can resonate with everyone. And it's a story about a friend of mine who got a birthday card. And the daughter had intended to write, "My dear Daddy, I hope you live a long life." But instead she wrote something even more magnificent. "My dear Daddy, I hope you live all the days of your life." I pray